As someone who has been staying in a house for the summer, I have enjoyed having access to a kitchen again, as it has been way too long since I've been able to make things and have fun with different baked goods, or even just be able to cook myself dinner once in a while, as living in a dorm is not very conducive to those types of things. So I have had a lot of fun with having the flexibility to cook and bake again. And so one night I decided, you know what, I wanted to make my own edible cookie dough. I saw something online that talks about how one of the really great ways to do that is to make a roux. Because it heat treats the flour without you just putting it in a microwave, and it ends up that you can taste the flavors of your cookie dough better, that it's not as dangerous, and that it's more incorporated well together. And so I thought this was a fantastic idea, and I decided to make this cookie dough. So I found a recipe for it. I was making this roux and things were going pretty good, right? I made it, it was going well, so on, started incorporating all the ingredients, until later on, I found that I actually didn't make the roux properly. I had made roux before, but I hadn't made it the particular way that it was requesting in the recipe, and so I did it slightly wrong. And I learned I did it wrong because I saw an Instagram video going over how to do it properly for the my applications. And then I looked back at the recipe and I realized, huh, yeah, I did this wrong. And the reason why I did it wrong wasn't because I don't know how to cook or bake, but rather because the instructions as how to do the roux properly were buried under walls of text in this recipe. And welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Recipes. I have a lot of respect for people who create their own recipes. It takes time, effort, and a lot of care to understand the science behind each baking ingredient and know how to combine them in such a way that it creates a fantastic end result. Especially people who infused baked goods with flavors such as mango lassi or even mango sticky rice are highly impressive. And since it's mango season, I keep getting videos about people doing this exact thing. I'll admit it, I watched Chopped growing up, and I remember feeling as though my ideas were always better because, to me, cooking is quite intuitive. There isn't a strict balance once you know the rules about balancing the amount of salt you have, the fatty flavors, the heat, the acidity, all these different things that you need to balance. And once you master those, you can make pretty much anything. And so to me, Chopped was never something that amazed me. Unless a chef decided to pull out something that was really show-stopping, and that wasn't frequent. But to me, watching the Great British Bake Off is highly impressive, the more and more that these bakers can come up with intense flavors, intricate recipes, and basically just structural geniuses. Like, the amount of things that they have to make is actually crazily impressive. And because I think to have a head for that kind of thing, that kind of baking, deeply amazes me. One time I ran out of baking powder and tried using baking soda and lemon juice. And while my biscuits still rose, they tasted absolutely awful. And I say this to really hone in on the point that baking is all about control and precision for the most part. There is so much beauty and respect I have for people who endure the hard lessons of baked goods and come out of it on the other side, ready to present their findings to the world and to help others who might also be struggling with creating the same thing. But seriously, can we stop it with these monologues? I promise you, I don't use the first recipe that pops up. I try my very hardest not to care about SEO because I just want something tasty. And increasingly, I've been getting recipes rerouted from social media pages, so there's even less reason that you need to have a ridiculous storytelling hook to get people to look at your recipe. You don't have a Food Network show, and even if you did, I wouldn't tune in. I would read the write-up of your recipe from home and still skip the part about your story. This is really just to say the exact same thing that I mentioned in the beginning, and that oftentimes I'm trying to find a recipe, I end up having to deal with this massive monologue, big story, context clues, descriptions, walls of text, just so I can get to the simple lines of the recipe. For baking, this is even more prominent for me because I'm not someone who can just come up with it on my own. I can cook most things on my own. So if I see something that looks interesting, okay, I'll just do it. I don't need the recipe for it. But for baking, I do need that detailed guide. And when I'm blocked from getting it, it's a little bit frustrating. That's why I think one of the greatest inventions this world has ever seen, and I stand on this, is the jump to recipe button. That is right next to the cook mode button that stops my screen from turning off, which always kind of annoys me as I, when baking, often have my hands covered in something and can't tap my screen on. So the jump to recipe button and cook mode button, genius inventions. Whoever came up with that idea, thank you. But they shouldn't have to exist. The cook mode button, I think, should have to exist. The jump to recipe button should not have to exist. I should already be at the recipe the moment I click the screen. And truthfully, I get annoyed at these monologues since I default skip them. And sometimes there's context about the recipe I missed. This is exactly what I was talking about in my intro. I will not be reading these long paragraphs, and sometimes the authors actually put things, useful comments in there, and you don't realize it until you've made a mistake in your recipe and you need to go back and hunt it down. There's no wonder I read recipes that see people who are commenting, asking about swapping one item for the next and failing. Although, to be fair, half of that is because of their stupidity and they're not good bakers or good listeners and readers. But I think at the end of the day, can you really blame them? I don't want to sort through a paragraph of text just to get through the recipe. And maybe this paragraph of text explains why a certain substitution is possible or why other ones are not possible. But if I have to go hunting for it, then I'm probably just gonna go with my gut. And most of the time when it comes to baking, my gut is wrong. And half the time of the recipe, the long exposition before the recipe, when they give their little notes about how to make sure you do something X way and not Y way, I think is not the best place to put that kind of advice, because other people spend the entirety of their recipe recounting their family history. And because I think other people also ignore this text before the recipe just to save themselves from wasting time, I think instead it should be incorporated in the recipe. In your little steps, include, oh, do this, don't do that. Or hyperlink it so that people can click it and go to the place in your recipe where you're describing the specific step. Because I think at the end of the day, people either go with, okay, long paragraph and really short recipe. And that means that you basically either have too much text or too little text. There's no in-between. And I think really what I want is just an in-between solution. Something that's not too much and not too little. And while it sounds like I'm trying to be the Goldilocks of recipes, I honestly think it's pretty justifiable considering how many people will make dumb substitutions because they may or may not realize that it's a bad idea. And, you know, it is on them partially, but it's also on the writer of the recipe to be as clear as possible in the recipe and not before the recipe. I don't want a preamble. So the other day in my quest to make a good roux, while I was able to recover my baked good and my raw but edible cookie dough was still really tasty, it kind of enlightened me to the fact that advice is so important for recipes and context is so important for recipes. And I rarely ever argue for bringing back the good old days, but I really do think this is an exception. I want recipe cards back. Just one card that describes the entire recipe. If it's a long recipe, I'd even take a sheet. Even if half these recipes are vague and use the measurement system of pinches, dashes, and basing things off your heart's desires, but I feel like that kind of adds to it. You'll never get the same dish twice, I guess. But even then, when I talk about, oh yeah, I'd rather have a recipe sheet that just goes over everything in depth, I'm basically advocating for the return of cookbooks. Except I don't have enough space for them, so I'm really advocating for the return of digitization of recipe cards and cookbooks without the backstory with them. So a recipe. But I think that there's something there where, like, in a cookbook, right, you get all that exposition in, like, the first chapter, right? Someone walks through their entire journey, and then you might get a tiny intro paragraph before a recipe, but people with cookbooks like to keep them pretty condensed to one or two pages. And so you'll kind of get these detailed instructions or even a step-by-step guide, and it's usually pretty tight. It's usually pretty concise and put together, and I think that's because they've already sold you. You already bought the book. They don't need to sell you on them anymore. You have a ton of recipes to choose from. But I honestly think that I wish people with random blogs would do this, where it's like, okay, the intro is your blog intro, and after that, just put the recipe on. That's all I'm interested in. And honestly, I will gravitate more towards blogs and websites that do this, where they're not just literally putting everything out there, but they're just putting out the recipe and doing what is necessary to help people. I do want to be clear, though, there's no obligation for anyone who's making a recipe to do things in a certain way, because most of the time you're doing it for free. But alternatively, I would argue that while, yes, you're providing me with a recipe, I'm providing you with visibility by clicking on your website, by scrolling to the bottom, by staying on it for a long time, by interacting with it or even commenting on it. And I think that's really something to be aware of, is people who interact with blogs are basically paying the blogs by interacting with them. But I'm not encouraged to interact with these websites if it's a fight to get there and it takes effort and time and it is not easy. And so I really think that's a lesson just for people who are making recipes, that you have people who want to use them. And especially, I mentioned this earlier, with the rise of social media, is people are now kind of switching and baiting people with their recipes by saying, oh yeah, look at this, boom, 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 throw these three things together and look, you have a beautiful baked dish. And then when people are like, oh yeah, I want to know how you made that, you have to go to their website to get the recipe. And they'll send, in the comments, they'll say like, recipe sent, with like the stupid like AI sent message that is pre-filled and automated, whatever, it doesn't matter. But the thing there is that now you have to endure their preamble along with the recipe that you've already been teased about through social media, and it doesn't ever get straight to the point. I have gone to a cooking recipe, actually, that I saw on social media. I was like, this looks good, but I'm kind of curious how much you use of what. And so I went to it, and oh my goodness, I still had to scroll. And it's like, you already kind of gave me a preamble by making me watch this video, and now there's a second preamble of your entire backstory before I get to the recipe. And so I think this is especially true with the rise of social media nowadays, is if you want your preamble to exist, make it the video, and then the recipe will just straight up is just the recipe on whatever web page you're using. I clearly have a lot of thoughts about this as someone who is increasingly using more and more recipes and really just wants to kind of get in and out. I want to make the recipe, have a cool baked good, have it work successfully as entailed, and be done with it. And I think there's a lot of people have the same mindset. Maybe not everyone would be willing to talk about 13 minutes about it and go on and on, but I do think this is something that is important, especially nowadays, as people's, you know, talk about attention span or whatever you want, but as people are kind of looking for more effective and efficient ways, they're going to increasingly go to AI to give them recipes, to say, hey, give me a recipe for this thing. And AI is not very good at recipes, right? Most of the time, people who make recipes have tested them out, whereas AI is just following pattern recognition and doesn't necessarily have the context clues to put things together. It misses the context. And so for people, if you want to win out against artificial intelligence, especially in the realm of recipes, you need to make people want to go to your page. And part of that is not having a long, long exposition about your life story. Ultimately, I love recipes. I like baking. I love cooking. And I think that it's important that we combine all of these things and remember that the people who are visiting websites and want to bake and cook are people who really just want clear instructions, clarity, and really just care about getting a good baked thing at the end of the day, and less about the journey it took you to get there. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Jackie On. I'll catch you in the next one.